Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph with the new parak, the new Mishnah. Shochet Akad Ba'of. Someone does Shechita of one Siman in an oaf. Ushnaim Be'ema, or two Simanim Be'ema. Shechitato Ukshera. Then the Shechita is a good Shechita. First question the Gemara asks is, why is it written B'lashon B'diavad? Sounds like this isn't the proper way to do it. There must be something better to do over here, and the Gemara will address that. Rubo Shalachad Kumahu. And a rove of any given siman is the equivalent of the entire siman being shechted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hashish Chot et Havridim. Rabbi Yehuda's statement is referencing to a bird and not to animals in general. And Rabbi Yehuda says that not only do you have to shecht the simanim, you also have to shecht the redim. Now, the redim are translated by different Rishonim and Achronim differently. It's clear that they have to do with the blood circulation in the neck. And we're going to see in a second the reason for cutting that blood circulation. But there's some that say that it's a reference to the jugular veins, which are more surface-like in the neck, and they have the blood flow. But the blood flow through the jugular veins is going to be a little slower because it's the return blood, not the blood that's going up. Therefore, there are many Rishonim that believe that it's the carotid artery, which carry the blood from the heart directly to the brain, which is heavy pumping and a lot of blood. Both of those indicate that the reason for the cut, or the reason that Rabbi Yehuda wants this, is to drain the blood out of the bird by cutting some major either blood vessel, vein, or an artery. And in doing so, you will drain the blood out. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, in saying this, the question is, when he says this in reference to what was said before the Mishnah said that, Shochet Echad Ba'ov, Ishchitato Ksheira, which means Bidiavat. That works. But that means that there's nothing below that. If you do less than that, it won't be Yotze. Is Rabbi Yehuda's statement therefore referencing to that, indicating that if you don't cut the Vridim, then the Oph is not Kasher? That's one possible reading of Rabbi Yehuda. Or is Rabbi Yehuda saying that over here, the good way to do it is the Vridim, but that doesn't mean that it's Me'akev the Shechita? That's what the Baal HaTosafot discussed a little bit, where he says, Dafka Be'Oph, this only relates to a bird or fowl. Now he decides to describe the problem, which is that when they shechted the birds, they used to roast the birds as one unit. As opposed to animals that are cut up into nitachim, into pieces, when you cut them into pieces, that allows for the evarim to drain the blood out. But if you're going to roast or cook an animal as a whole unit, like a bird, which you have the possibility of doing that, then the blood never has the opportunity to come out or to leach out. So the way to solve that problem is to cut the, whether it's the jugular vein or the carotid arteries, in order to drain the blood fully before you do such a thing, and you roast it. Benire, the dafka lechatchila, kam Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosafot already addresses the issue that Rabbi Yehuda is only dealing with this, the chatchila. Aval im salo dividi abad, if he did the tzliya, bidi abad, velo nechtechu avridim, shari, then it is still mutar. Now, the question is, and this is the two possible readings of what Rabbi Yehuda says, that if the problem is roasting the bird as a whole, then maybe by the bird as a whole, it's me'akev, even bidiavad. If you cut the bird up into pieces, you can solve the problem. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that yes, redeemer me'akev bidiavad when it's a whole bird, when you're roasting as a whole. But if you cut it up into pieces, you can simulate the same effect of cutting the redeem, and therefore it would be kasher. Or you can read it simply that redeem or lechatchila, that's the best way to do it. If you don't do it that way, then we're going to ask you to cut up the pieces in order to deal with the blood issue. But again, like the Baal HaTosafot seem to indicate over here, that it is imtzalo b'diavad, v'nechtuchu avridim, shari, they b'diavad. Even if you don't cut it up, it still would be mutar. You know, this is only an issue, the chatchila. So that's two different readings of Rabbi Yehuda. And in general, we are makpid for the position of Rabbi Yehuda to cut the vridim when it comes to the oaf. And again, the oaf's neck is much narrower, much thinner. Therefore, when you're doing shechita, it's much more likely that you will cut these anyway. And you have to also do kisui adam, or in the mikdash, where they had to actually get dam out of the bird. So then also, that would be something when they do the malika, they'd also want to cut these in order to get the dam that they want to get onto the mizbeach. So to increase the blood flow in all of these situations, it makes sense to cut the vridim. Again, depending on whether you think the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that it's the jugular veins. Many of the other Rishonim believe that it is the carotid arteries, things that are deeper into the neck that surround the simanim that are in the neck. Chatzi echad ba'of, ve'achad v'chetzi b'meima shchitato psula. You only do half a siman by an oath, or you do 1.5 by a beima, the shchita is psula b'diavad. Now the truth is that the chetzi achad ba'of is not really a chiddush. So of course, it's less than rov of a siman. So the chiddush is either the way the Baal HaTosfot say it over here, hu adin chetzi kol echad. And if you do half of each of the two simanim in the oath, that would fail. Or in essence, what he's saying is that's the same as the chiddush that's by behema. The chiddush by behema is when you do 1.5 simanim, that's not called the rov. Even though you have rov of the two simanim, 1.5 is a rov of two, nevertheless, you need to have a rov of both simanim. It has to be a rov of the kaneh and the veshet, and the same is true by the bird. If you have chetzi and chetzi of the two simanim by the bird, that doesn't suffice. Even though you have cut the equivalent of one siman, that's not enough. It has to be within one siman that you have a rov, and that's the chiddush of this statement in the Mishnah. Rov echad ba'of, rov shnayim bebehema, shchitato ksheira. If you do rov echad ba'of, or rov shnayim bebehema, shchitato ksheira, which is basically that rubo kukulo. And again, we have to discuss how that's differentiated or different than what was said earlier in the Mishnah. Ashochet di'avad in the chatchila lo. So the Gemara asked the question that we already noted in the Mishnah, which is ashochet makes it sound like b'di'avad. This is the way to do it. So, in the behema, if you cut two simanim, what else do you want them to cut? How much further can you cut? Meaning that if you've already cut the two simanim and you've taken out the life force of the animal, how much do you want to go further than that? Doesn't make so much sense that the requirement should be any more than the two simanim. And as Tosfot says over here, the Gemara's assumption that two simanim by the behema is enough, says, why don't you say imishum vridim? What about the vridim? Afilu Rabbi Yehuda moda bebehema ho minatcha ever. Rabbi Yehuda agrees by the behema you don't need vridim because you're going to cut it into pieces. And that was the distinction that we drew before, that Rabbi Yehuda's statement is really by oaf and not by behema. So ibay edema ayachad ba'oaf. Some say that shchita was written, ashochet was written b'diavad because of the reference to the bird. And the difference would be that by the shchita of the behema, you're doing two, which is a full two simanim. By the bird, you're doing one siman. And as Rashi says over here, kaya shochet lechatchila atzuchu rabbonan tarvayu mishum harchaka le'aveira. Rabbonan required that you do a second siman by the oaf in order to avoid aveira. Dilma lo at lemeivad ruba dechad. We're afraid you won't get through robe of one if we only do one siman. So we force you to do two simanim. For sure, you will get through the robe of one of them. And it's just a preventative measure by the birds to cut more. Rashi clearly over here says that this is a din dirabonon. So the din dirabonon is that the chatchila, we'd rather you cut two. And again, as our achoka, as a way to ensure that you cut them. Although, if you remember, we saw the Baal HaTosafot back on Chof Aleph Amud Bet, where he challenged Rashi's explanation of the Gemara over there with regards to the chatat of and cutting one siman in the chatat of. Rashi says that all you need, min haTorah, is one siman. And Tosafot says, what do you mean? The Gemara later on says that the better way to do it is with two simanim. So how can you say that lo yavdil tells you only one siman based on that? And then the Tosafot's challenge seems to indicate that the reason for two simanim is not just a din, lechatchila midrabanan, but rather lechatchila midoraito. That min haTorah, there's a better way to do this. And the better way to do it, min haTorah, is to cut both simanim. And that's why he's challenging Rashi's explanation, because he thinks Rashi's explanation doesn't make sense. If the chatchila is two simanim midoraita, then how come lo yavdil tells you don't go through the two simanim? For Rashi, it's very straightforward. Rashi says over here, it's a din derabonon. So when you have lo yavdil by the chatat of, it tells you only do one siman. Don't exercise that din derabonon because you have a deoraita that's pushing against you. So that shows that the Baal HaTosafot think that it's a din deoraita, the second siman. Although most believe, like Rashi, that it is a din derabonon. Rashi calls it a rachaka le'aveira. You could see it as being possibly carrying out what Rabbi Yehuda wanted, which was cutting through the redim as well. So maybe that's the reason to cut through both simanim. Here by Dema, arubo shalachad kamo. The other option is to say that the bidyavad aspect over here is using rov shalachad. In a bidyavad, if you do a rov, it's okay. But we'd prefer if you do the whole siman, so we don't run into problems that maybe you didn't get the rove, maybe you didn't cut far enough, so we'd rather that. If you say that, then what is the implications for oath? Because if you now say the Ibai Tema is a rubo shalachad, That means that we don't think it's on Echad Ba'of. So does that mean then by Echad Ba'of, Lechatchila, then you only need one Siman?
Which is the view of the Rif.
Or do we say there's still a necessity for two Simanim by an Oaf, and we'd rather you do two Simanim by Oaf?
Which is the view of the Rambam, that Midrabanan, you still require two Simanim by Oaf, either because like what Rashi says, or like what the Rashash says, because you require two by Behema, we also prefer if you do two by an oaf, so that there's no distinction between them.
So that's a question, as when you go to this Ibaithema, what does that mean then for the oaf that's left behind, which is now maybe oaf only requires one lechatchila, and not two lechatchila, because the bidiyavad aspect is going rubu shalachat. Therefore, if you do one full siman by an oaf, it'd be sufficient,
which is obviously the case midoraita. The only question is midorabanan,
do we still say, even though Rubo Shalachad is what the B'diavad is going on, we still prefer if you do two Simanim by an oath, and that's a Machloket Rishonim. Amar Rav Kahana, Minayin L'Shchita Shehi Min HaTzavar. How do you know that Shchita is done from the neck? This is something that's never explicitly said in the Torah. The Torah prescribes Shchita, and we know that the Torah also says Zvicha, but it never does it identify the location where the shchita or the zbicha is done. And that's what Rav Kahana asks. Minayin shchita shemin hatzavar shenemar. So he says, it says in the pasuk, v'shachat et ben habakar. So now, the question that really seems to revolve here in the perushim that we're going to see from the Amoraim over here is which word is the proper word for shchita and which word is the secondary word for shchita. The Torah has both the word of shchita and has the word of zvicha. So it seems from the way that Rav Kahana is describing it over here, that zvicha is the core word that you have. Then for him, he's going to darshan the word shchita because he looks at zvicha as being the core word. And therefore the word shchita is something that is open to drasha. Why did you use the word shchita? So it says, v'shachat et ben habakar, which is in the world of kodoshim, mimakom she shach chateyu, from the place that it bends over, from the place that it moves or bends, chateyu. So Rashi over here brings two interpretations as to what chateyu means. So shach, he says, from the word like shchia, hishtachavaya, to bow over, to lean over, to bend over. So it's an area that moves up and down. That's at least what we know. Then it says from that, chateyu. So Rashi brings one interpretation, which chateyu means, hachshiru la'achila, make it kasher la'achila, v'tahareyu, and make it tahor, lishna achrina. The other possibilities, chateyu, hutzi et damo v'nakehu, clear out the blood from it, and make it clean. V'lahai lishna, garsinan chateyu, lishna didukhuyehu. The Gemara is going to say right now, mimai hai chateyu, lishna didukhuyehu. How do you know that this language of chateyu is the lashon of dechuye, which means litaher, which means to cleanse out or to clean out? It says, according to the lishna kama, the gears in the Gemara would be mimai dehai chateyu lishna deachshurehu. It's a lashon of preparation or making it available to be eaten. That, so the question that the Gemara is asking is, I know that shach means to go up and down. Chateyu now means either to be machshir, to change it from something that's asur b'achila to something that's kasher b'achila, or something that's tameh to something that's tahor, or it means to clear it out, the blood, empty the blood out. How do I know that that's the lashon, that that's what it means? Dichtiv. Because it says, v'chitei et habayit. It says over there that you will either be mitaher the bayit, or chitei et habayit, you'll clean out. You will cleanse the house. V'bayitema mehacha, because it says there, techat eini ve'ezov ve'ethar, that you will cleanse me, or you will be mitaher me with the ezov, with the hyssop, vethar, and then I'll be tahor. So again, both of those lashonot are lashonot of chateyu, again with an aleph, that would be, that chatey, which can either mean to cleanse, litaher, or chatey can mean to clean out, or to cleanse. So that's why Rashi brought you both of those interpretations. So that's what he says now. From the place that it moves up and down, from there be machshirit, or from there, you should be mitaheret. You should either make it mutar l'achila, or you should clear it out of the blood. That is a problem. Ve'ema miznavo. How do you know that it's not from the tail? The tail also goes up and down. Shach michlal shizakuf be'inan. It says here that you have the active verb shach, that it actually bends down, meaning that the natural position is upright. So the natural position of the head is upright, and the animal has the ability to bend it down. V'ha shach va'omeidu. The tail, on the other hand, is already bent. Its natural state is to be down, and only sometimes does it lift it up. So it's the opposite way around. Shach means that you do move it down to take it out of its natural position. Over here, the natural position of the tail is already down, so that can't be the explanation. Ve'ema me'ozno, maybe it's from the ear. The ear can be lifted up and can be taken down. Ve'inan dama nefesh ve'leka, because over there, there's no dama nefesh. I mean, that we understand that from the Shekhinah, you have to take out the life force. The part of that is not because you have to kill the animal, but it's because we're dealing with Kodoshim. The pasuk that we quoted is from Shachat ben Abakar, is by Kodoshim. You need the dam to do the Kabbalat dam and to do the Zrikat dam, and you don't have that there. The Ema, the Kara, the Azil, Adam, and Nefesh. So say that you have to start by the ear, and then you'll pull the cut from the ear down to the area where you'll get Dam HaNefesh. So that then starts to push back or reject this view that this is a solution to the problem. The other thing that the Rishonim note is, how do you know that it's from the neck? Only thing that you've proven to me is that it has to be the entirety of the neck. That could be the back of the neck, or that could be the front of the neck. From here, it's not necessarily clear that it is the front of the neck. So the Rishonim take two approaches to that. One is to just say, by definition, since the life force of the animal is in the front of the neck, it makes more sense to cut from the front of the neck once you know that it's in that area that moves up and down. It makes more sense to do it from the front. Tosafot the Rosh suggests that the truth is that the movement of the up and down of the neck is done by the front of the neck. The back of the neck is just the result. It's extended or it's contracted based on the movement of the front. But the shicha, the bending, is done by the front of the neck. That would be the way that you would get to the front of the neck. Or it's possible that, no, you just get to the neck. Afterwards, you still need more information about where on the neck to do that. That might be given by the psukim. The psukim in the Torah tell us of malikas mimula oref, so that's done behind the neck. The fact that now you have malika mimula oref, and that's not what is said by shechita, and shechita is different, so that would indicate that it should be on the front of the neck. So again, there are different ways maybe to get to the exact position of where you need the shechita, but this is Rav Kahana's suggestion for how we know that shechita is done by the neck. Now, the Gemara says, V'tu. So now this is Rashi's girsa in the Gemara, and you're going to see in a second that Tosafot mentions that Rashi changed the girsa in the Gemara. Rashi sees this as a continuation of the challenge of the Gemara to Rav Kahana's position, which is V'tu, Shia, Drasa, Chalada, Hagrama, V'ikur. The five halachot, the Moshe Mitzinai, all these are requirements in Shechita, Minolon. Where do you know those from? Meaning that if you're telling me that this is sourced out of the Psukim with regards to Shechita, then where are all the other dinim of shechita coming from? Here are all the requirements of shechita, that you don't delay, you don't press in, that you don't puncture or go in that way, you don't go outside the area that is there. And ikur, we saw, was subject to machloket as to whether it means puncturing the trachea or it means to move the simanim out of place and shech them. How do you know all of those are true? Ella gemara. That is halacha the Moshe Mitzinai. Shechita min hatzavar, nami gemara. And similarly, shechita from the tzavar is also halacha, the Moshe Mitzinai. So then, the kra, the mayato. Then what is the pasuk coming to teach you? The lo leshavye gistera. You shouldn't make it into a gistera. This is a word that we've seen before. Gistera, as Rashi says, is that you don't split it in half. What is the din that you learn from there? So Rashi brings two possibilities of what it means. First one is, shelo yachtoch koma mefreket l'shnayim. You don't break the neck when you're cutting the animal. Tahachi mashma, chateyu. So that's the one interpretation, which was to take the blood out on a keo, but too long. So that lashon that says to take the blood out, it's sufficient to cut through the simanim and maybe even the arteries and veins that are there, but you don't have to go through the back of the neck. So there's no necessity for gistera. The question of whether that is not necessary, but if you do it, it's okay. Or maybe you're not even allowed to do that at all. There's one view within the Rishonim that says just that Rashi means that you're not allowed to cut them up reket. You only have to cut the front, and you must stop there. Most believe that it just means you don't have to cut through the mafreket. So according to this view of chateyu, you've done enough once you've reached to the backbone, to the spinal cord. Be'idach lishna, that says, hechsher achidato, tahinam simanim betulom. And according to the other lashon that said it was the hechsher, the shkita, was makshir d'achila, once you've gone through the simanim, you've done enough. So whether it means to be makshir d'achila, which the simanim are suffice for, or whether it means to clear out the dam, which again, cutting till the backbone is enough. In both instances, you don't need to sever the entire head in order to get accomplished what you need. That would be what it means, lo gistra. And then Rashi brings lishna acharino. It's another view of it. The lo lishavya gistra, shelo yidros. That you do not do darsa. You do not put pressure on it. The only way to sever the head completely is to do it in a manner that, for instance, if you were using a sword to cut the neck, you would slice it very fast across, and that strength of the cut is what would cut off the head entirely. What it indicates is in order to get through the backbone, you're going to have to use a lot more pressure to get through there. The back and forth motion is not going to do that for you. So, afagav, de'ochot shchita, halacha l'moshe misinayim. Wait a minute. Didn't you just say, darsa is one of the five halachot Moshe misinayim about shchita? Yesh mehem shenichtavu. There's some of them that are found in psukim. Kamon darsa. Temafkinan lekaman mi v'shachat. That we learn that out of the word mishachat. Ein v'shachat alashon. Umashach. That's going to be learned later on in the Gemara, that it's a asmachta from the Pasuk, according to most other Rishonim, which means that how do you know you have to go back and forth motion? So the Gemara learns it out of the word v'shachat. V'chi gemire hilchata asharu. And the halacha of Moshe Misnai is referencing to the other four items. So Rashi brings a raya from the Gemara coming up, that the Gemara brings evidence to the fact that you need to do a back and forth motion, and it's not halacha of Moshe Misnai, as opposed to darsa. Rashi says, you see in other places that they're willing to bring psukim, even for these halacha l'moshe misinayim. The same thing will be true over here. And darsa, kari gistra. And since darsa is the equivalent, or the result of darsa, is gistra, then what it's saying here is, don't do drisa. Don't push. Don't use force going through. Rather, a back and forth motion. And that is the lima that comes from here, and the other four are halacha l'moshe misinayim. You can see that almost all the Rishonim reject Rashi's view here, that the halacha that comes out of here is darsa, and that it's one of the five halacha that Moshe Misinai has really learned out of the pasuk according to Rav Kahano. And they say that the Gemara later on is just nasmachta. It's not really saying that that's the limud. It's halacha the Moshe Misinai. They're just saying where is it hinted to in the psukim, but not that that's the real limud. That in general is rejected. The second thing Rashi did that most of the Rishonim reject is changing the girsa. And changing the girsa to say that the Gemara's question king of Rav Kahana continues, which is to say that we already asked, how do you know that it's from the neck? Maybe it's from the ear pulling down towards the neck, number one. Number two is, what about all the other halachot of shechita? And there it's a two-pronged question against Rav Kahana. And then they have to back away. And Rav Kahana will have to say that, no, the pasuk's coming to teach you about the gistira. That's the flow of the Gemara according to Rashi. You can look in the Balei Tosafot right away. It says, Kol Svarim Garsinan Velitamech. It is not the two, which would mean that's an additional question of the Gemara, Bavalita Meich, which would be a response of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is saying back to them, you are asking me about these items, Velita Meich. According to you, how do you learn all these other items? The answer is that all these other items are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So too, the Din of Tzavar is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This is all Rav Kahana's statement. And then Rav Kahana says, well then, what am I learning from the Pasuk? Gistera. So instead of it being a full-fledged, two-pronged challenge to Rav Kahana, and then Rav Kahana has to back down and use a different view as to what the pasuk is saying. Rather, it's a one-pronged attack against Rav Kahana. And then Rav Kahana turns to them and says, you know that all the halachot shechita are halacha l'moshe misinai, litameich. You need that halacha l'moshe misinai. Just like that's halacha l'moshe misinai, so too is the tzavar. So don't challenge me because my limud is really not about the tzavar in particular, but about gistra. It's the method by which you do it. So it's giving you partial information about what needs to be done with the halachot of shechita. And he says, "Benira tegirsa tasvarim degarsi litamech." So it makes much more sense to use the term litamech over here. Rav Kahana kamarla shchita minin tzavar nami gemara. That's also halacha lomo shemisinai. Lo minos no, for lo mechotmo, not from his ears, not from his nose. Avakati lo yadinan meheichan matchil. Imena oref kimulika omid tzara garon v'simanim. Olhachiata v'shachat omar mimakom shach. And that's the answer that he's bringing is that you do it in a way that starts from the point where the simanim are. And therefore, then you'd have to read it that shalod l'shavya gistera means not to make it into a gistera if you started from the back, which would take much more force to do it. And malika, you would end up going straight through and making it into a gistera. On the other hand, if you start from the front, you can do it in a more gentle manner, and then it won't make it into a gistera. So the Balei Tosafot say two things. One is, first of all, Rav Kahana takes over at this point, litameich. Number two is Rav Kahana's din still relates to the shechita itself, which is, yes, you know the halacha l'moshe misinai is at the neck. Where on the neck do you need to do it? That's what Rav Kahana is coming to tell you, makom sheshach, the place where it bends over. again, which is a reference to the front of the neck, as we already explained before, how that could mean the front of the neck over here. And that's the information that he gets from the pasuk of Vishachat. And Gistera is an indication of where you're cutting from, rather than simply how much to cut. Rashi was saying that it's how far through the neck do you cut, or the second interpretation, which again the Baal HaTosfot reject, which is the idea of Darsa. But the Baal HaTosfot is saying Gistera tells you from whether you're coming from the front or the back. And that Gistera would have been something that required force from the back, and then you end up taking the whole head off. Whereas coming from the front, you wouldn't make it into a Gistera. Rav Yemar Amar, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Vizavachta. So Vizavachta is the Pasuk that we use from Devarim for the hint at the fact that there are halachot Moshe Mishinai Shechita, because it says, Kasher Tziviticha, the way that I commanded you. So there, the Zavachta, where did Moshe command you? We don't find any commands about that. Oh, that's the halacha of Moshe Mishinai. What you see here is that he's learning the other way around. Vishachat, that's found by Kodoshim, is the main verb that's used for Shechita, and then Zavachta is the verb that now is used by Chulin, that it has room for interpretation because it should have used the word Shechita. The fact that he used the Zavachta, Mimakom Shizab Chateyu, from the place that it flows, that's where you should cut it. I mean, the place where the blood flows, that's where you should cut it. My Mashma, the High Chateyu Lishna, Demitvarhu. How do you know that the language of chateu then, according to this, which means to break? You know, that what it's saying, from the place where the blood flows, break it. Dichtiv, al tira va'al techat. Says, don't fear, don't be in trepidation. Techat means don't collapse, don't fall apart when you are facing the enemies. So same thing over here. Al techat means don't break or to be of a broken spirit. So here, al tira, don't fear, and don't have a broken spirit. Ve'ema michotmo. Why don't you say it's from the nose? The nose also runs, not blood, but mucus that comes out of the nose. It's also an area that runs. Ema michotmo. Zava yidei chitoi be'inan. We need a flow that comes from breaking, and not v'hai v'zav me'elavu. That's something that flows naturally. You don't need to break it in order for the nose to have mucus come out of it, to have there be liquid flowing out of it. Similar to what the answer that we gave before by Rav Kahana, this is the active verb of chateyu, to create the ziva, not that it's naturally already flowing. Be'ema milibo. Once you're doing that already, if you want the blood flow, you want the maximum blood flow, the best place to cut would be by the heart, not by the neck. Vitu. And then here again, the girsa of whether it's vitu or litameich would also be similar in the arguments between Rashi and the Baal HaTosafot as to what the girsa should be over here. Vitu, shia, darsa, chalada, hagrama, v'ikur, minalan. How do we know all those particulars about shchita? Ela gemara. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. Shchita min hatzavar, nami gemara. So too, the shkita from the tzavar is a lachal moshe misinai. We cry the mayato. So then what is the puzzle coming? To teach you the loshavye gistera, to not make it into a gistera. And again, Rashi's interpretation would mean cut from the front, don't go through the back bone, or possibly don't do darsa. And for Baal HaTosafot, it is teaching you to go from the front of the neck, not from the back of the neck, even though the lachal moshe misinai teaches you from the neck. The location on the neck is what is being given by this over here. The Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tano. So now we have a Tanaic version here. Vishachat. Al tirikri vishachat, ela visachat. Don't read it as vishachat with a shin. Rather read it with a sin. Then it will be pronounced like sachat with a samach. Makom shesach chateyu. Here's a third version of the drasha. From the place that it talks, that it makes noise, that's where you should cut it. So the noise or the voice emanates from the throat, from the voice box that's down there. That's what we saw in the earlier part of the Gemara with regards to the Tabata Gdola and then the Kova that sits on top of that. That's where around the larynx, that's where the voice emanates from. So cut it over there. Ve'ema milshono. So what do you do it from the Lashon, from the tongue itself? So the Gemara over here has an interesting idea that it should be the tongue is something that influences language. I mean, that part of the way that the language is created, there are three parts to it. It's the throat that generates a certain amount of the noise, or the noise flow. Then there's the tongue, the lips, and the teeth that create the articulation or the finalization of that sound. Let's say the same thing over here. Lashon over here is something that is used in the speech process. Now, Rashi over here says that Lashon is Misaya Lidotzei Kol. It helps him to take out the voice. And then in the Mishnah in Bechorot, it calls the Lashon a Midaber. It wants to speak about the part of the animal's anatomy called the tongue. It calls it the Midaber. And even though by animals, there is no Midaber, I mean, animals only make raw sounds. It's not really an articulated sound, but rather just a raw sound. So they don't really use their tongue so much in the sound. Nevertheless, either it's a borrowed term, which is that just by human beings, the lashon is the midaber, and that's what causes the talking sensation, the articulation. So too by the animal, it's called that. It could be a borrowed term. Or it could even be by the animal that the lashon has an impact on the nature of the sound that comes out. Even though they're not articulating, they can modulate the sound or do something with the sound through their tongue. That's why it's called the midaber. And that's why he's focused over here on shesach vechateyu, that cut the place where the sound comes from. And so that should be also em lashon, bina dama nefesh veleka. You cut the tongue, that's just not going to do the job of getting dama nefesh. Again, he's doing it for shachat, which is by kodoshim. And by kodoshim, you need the dam. For zvikat adam, like chulin, if you don't get any dam in the end, that's okay. Because if you do a dry shechita, the animal is kosher. But in kodashim, that's just not going to work, because you need dam and nefesh to get it on the mizbeach. Vema de karav azil ad dam and nefesh. Same question that we challenged Rav Kahana with, start at the tongue, and then pull down towards the simanim. And then the same question again, vitu, shia, tarsa, chalada, agrama, vikor, minalan, ela, gimara, it's a halacha lemoshe misinai with regards to those items. So then, what's the pasuk coming to teach you? Not to make it into a gistera, which again, for Rashi and Tosafot, it either means don't cut through the backbone, don't do drasa, according to Rashi, or according to the Baya Tosafot, means cut from the front, don't cut from the back. Okay, now, Gemara says, and the Tana brings it from here, the Tanya, we have a braita. Now, what's interesting about this is, the Gemara already brought three opinions. Rav Kahana, Rav Yemar, both are Moraim, and then Tana, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, who's a Tana. And then the Gemara says, the Tana brings it from here. So why is it that they're saying the Tana brings it from here? We had a Tana who brought it. So either you have to say that this next limud comes from Torat Kohanim, which makes it that it's the Midrash Halacha, and the Midrash Halacha was kind of mainstay brightot, and that's what it means, Tana Maitele Mehocha, and Tana, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, was seen as a side type of brighta, not as prominent a brighta. Or Tana Matila Mahocha means the Tana who is reviewing the Breitot in front of the Amuraim, he brought it from here. So one of those two explanations, not to say that Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel wasn't a Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Chia Amar, and again here you're dealing with a Breita that is a Breita of Rabbi Chia, which has much more prominence in the Beit Midrash. Rabbi Shai and Rabbi Chia's Breitot, who are the Talmidim of Rabbi, have much more prominence in the Gemara, and they're given heavy weight in the explanations of the Mishnayot versus other Breitot, which are more secondary in nature. So, minayin l'shchita minatzavar. How do we know that shchita is from the neck? Shnemar, varchu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim et ha-nitachim. It says there that the b'nei Aron will set up or lay out the nitachim, which are the limbs of the korban olah that are cut up or quartered when they process the korban olah. Sh'ein tamalomar et ha-rosh v'et ha-pader. Why does it mention the rosh v'et ha-pader separately? Why does it mention Rosh and Pader separately? Hello, Rosh and Pader, Bichlal Kol HaNitachim Hayu. They're part of the limbs. They're part of the cutting and quartering of the animal. So why do you have to mention the Rosh and the Pader separately? Why does it mention Achub Ne'aron at Kohanim et Nitachim et HaRosh v'et HaPader? Aren't they part of the Nitachim? Why are they kept separate and then mentioned separately from that? Lama Yitzu. So why are they distinguished by themselves? L'fish Ne'amar. The Pasuk says, V'ifshit et HaOlah, that you will flay the animal, minitach, and then you will quarter the animal. That only applies to nitachim that get flayed, that have their skins taken off. How do we know to include the head that already was separated? The Gemara here quotes a different pasuk than it started with. We started with Achub and Aaron Akonim, the Tachim, the Rosh, the Pader. Here it quotes et rosho v'et pidro, and then the next begins v'arach, and then they connect the arach to et rosho v'et pidro, to tell you, mitakamar et rosh, shekvar hutaz, miklal d'shchita min atzavar. The fact that it tells you that you have to include the rosh, that it was already separated, that shows you that shchitaz min atzavar. Now Rashi explains this in the following manner. So first of all, the word hutaz, generally, and we saw that earlier in the Gemara, means to sever the head completely from the body. Rashi points out over here that the hutaz does not mean that over here. Hutaz simply means that it's cut through the simanim. It doesn't mean separated or totally distinguished from the rest of the behemah. Rashi points out that the Gemara in Zvachim noted that when you put the head of the animal on the mizbeach, There's no hefshet done. There's no flaying done of the head because the head goes on with the hair of the beard of the goat or with the wool of the sheep or with the horns of the ram. And all those items go on the mizbeach, even though normally they would not be placed on the mizbeach. But since the head goes on as a whole piece, that goes all on together. There's Rashi's proof that there's no hefshet, that there's no skinning of the head. And then Rashi goes on to say, well, then that's what the Gemara was saying over here. Anything that has a din in hafshata has a din in netachim, has a din that it be quartered or cut up. If that's the case, how do I know to include the rosh that was kvar hutas? How do I know to include it in the rest of the items that are being quartered and then arach and being set up there? Because Rashi says it was segregated out because it doesn't have hefshet. That's when it comes along to teach you it, the rosh v'tapadr, to teach you that the rosh has the same din as everything else. So then why do I have to deal with the rosh? Because the rosh has been separated or segregated separately. And because of that, now I have to re-include it in the messaging for the rest of the netachim. The Ramban does not love Rashi's explanation over here because of the problem that there's no evidence along the way or there's no necessity for the head to be separated. The fact that the head is not flayed has nothing to do with the fact that the head was separate from the body. You could have the head on the body and it still wouldn't be flayed based on this. And then how do you know then that the inclusion of the rosh next to the netachim has any meaning over here? So the Ramban says that you should focus on the arhu part of it. Gemara's question is not about the netachim aspect of it and the hefshet part of it, but rather the arhu. Arhu means to lay out the netachim. And it says over here, it says that you lay out all of these limbs and the rosh and the padr. The fact that you have to lay out the rosh and the padr separately from the netachim seems to indicate that the rosh is not part of the other items that were quartered. Well, then how do you lay out the head if it wasn't quartered? And the pasuk that they bring, which is v'hivshita to'olam nitach, seems to indicate that the only things that were included in the netachim are the things that were flayed. So then how does the rosh ever get back into the world of arhu if it was never made into a netachim? It was never made into something that was quartered or separated out. And that's the proof of the Gemara. The fact that it was separated out and is subject to va'arach shows you that the head has to be a separate entity to be putting out. If it wasn't a separate entity, then why would it tell you varach et arosh? Because it's not part of the netachim. And if it's not included in the netachim, and it's now being told to be placed out like the others, how did it get to that position where it's separate and being placed out like the other netachim? And the answer is because it was hutas. It was separated from the body already. That means that it's an independent entity. And that's why varach. You're going to put it out even though it wasn't made into a netachim, because it wasn't subject to hafshata. Since it's not subject to hafshata, it doesn't have the din of being made into a cut up or quartered. Since it's not quartered, how did it ever get separated? The answer is, it was cut off in the first place. And that's how we know that the rosh is separated from the rest of the goof. So now the Gemara says, V'tana patach b'rosh u'pader. It quotes one pasuk, which has rosh u'pader, u'misayim b'rosho u'pidro. And then quotes another pasuk for the proof text, meaning that the original text is brought from Vayikra Aleph, Pasuk Chet, where it says Rosh and Pader. And then the latter part of the Braita, when it comes to the conclusion, it brings it from Pasuk Yud Bet, which is Et Rosho Et Pidro Ve'arach. Why does it start with one Pasuk and then end with the proof text being another Pasuk? Hachi Kamar, Nayin Rabot Et Arosh Shekvar Hutaz. How do I know to include in this the head that was already severed? Tamalomar Et Arosh Ve'et Pader. So then, Ve'rosho Pidro Lamali. So then what do I need Rosho Upidro? If you already tell me the proof text is already from the first pasuk of Rosh and Pader, then what do you need Rosho Upidro Lamale? Mi Bailei Tanya. That we need for then other limud, which is Minayin the Rosh Upader Shekodmim L'chol Netachim. How do we know that the Rosh and the Pader are the first things that are placed on the Mizbeach? Tamalomar Et Rosho Et Pidro V'arach. That they take precedence. They're the first things that you present onto the Mizbeach, that you lay out on the Mizbeach. Upader Kama Dichtav Rachmana. Lamali, you have two words there. You have Rosh and Pader. So now you explain to me the first Rosh, I need to tell me that the Rosh was severed from the body. The second Rosh shows to tell me it's the first thing that goes on the Mizbeach. Pidro is means that it goes along with the Rosh. What do I need the first Pader for? The first Pader wasn't necessary. So the Gemara says, Mi bayi leke diktanya. Keitzed hu oseh. How do you present it? Chofe et ha-Pader al beit ha-shechita u-me'aleyu. The severed head has an area where the cut was made. That part where the cut is made isn't so presentable. It's not so nice to present that before Hashem. It's blood. It's all messy over there. So you take the pudr, you take the fats, and you place them on top of the Beit HaShechita then, and then you present that as you bring it up to the Mizbech. And that's what it means. Chipa to pudr el Beit HaShechita umaleyu. Then you put on Mizbech. V'zeh derech kabod shalmala. And that's a proper way to present it. That's etiquette. In presenting it, you don't bring the head with the blood and everything, all the things spilling all over the place. You put the fats on top of it to make it much more presentable and bring it up to Mizbech. That's why you have the word pudr twice. I want to tell you that it's one of the two first objects that go in Mizbech. In the Rosh and the pudr are the first one in Mizbech. The other pudr comes to tell you that you use the pudr to cover over the Beit HaShechita. Bahatana matila mehocha. So now we have a different source for this. Now we're on to our fifth source for how we know that Shechita is from the neck, the Tanya. Zot Torat HaBehema V'Ha'of. It says in Parshat Shmini, at the end of the Parsha, that this is the Torah of the Behema and the Oath. Now, Parshat Shmini is laid out, aside from the front half, but about the back half of Parshat Shmini, but it deals with the kosher animals. It first tells you about animals and kosher animals, then it speaks about the fish, and then after the fish, it speaks about the birds, and then after it finishes with that, it moves on to Tumat Nevela, and starts to speak about Inyane Tuma. The way into the Parsha, it says, Zot Torat HaBehema V'Oath. This is the Torah of the Behema and the Oath. In essence, it's referencing back to the issues of Tumah, because it's the closing part of that series or that psukim about the Tumah, but obviously it references back to the Kashrut issues as well. Since when were the Behema and Oath paralleled, where is there something that's equivalent between them? Behema and Oath, there's really no reason to believe that there's anything wrong in the Pasuk, because it says Zotorata Behema Ba'Oath, and then it speaks about Sheretz Hamayim, and then Sheretz Ha'aretz. So, where in there do you think that Behema and Oath are unusual? It's just listening to all the items that it mentioned before. Why is there a Hekesh over here that comes out of it? The answer to that might have to do with the order of the Parshiot, as I noted before. It starts out with Behemot Ksherot, then it moves to fish, then it moves to birds. So, in the detailed listings, it goes through Behemot, Dagim, and then Ofot, but yet when it does the summary, it does Behema, Oaf, and then Dagim. So now, the change of the order might be exactly what the Gemara is after over here. Why does it juxtapose Behema and Oaf in the summary Pasuk when they were not juxtaposed in the earlier Psukim? So that's what Gemara is asking. Where is this equivalence that's drawn between a Behema and an Oaf? Both of the Behema. Behema mitama b'maga u'masa. So again, the Parshia there is speaking about Tumat and Beila. So that would be the most likely area we would see crossover between them. But we know that when it comes to Behema, the Tumat and Beila, it's conveyed either through contact or through carrying. Oaf, enu mitameh b'maga u'masa. The Tumat and Beila of Oaf doesn't come through carrying or contact, but Oaf mitameh b'gadim, abeit ha'bliya. Then the Nevelat Oaf Tahor only creates Tumat when you swallow it, when it goes down the Beit HaBliya, it creates Tumah and has Tumah to the extent that it affects the Begadim that you're wearing at that time. Behema, Einu Mitama Begadim, Beit HaBliya. So then if you have an Nevela, for instance, if you never touched it, never carried it, somebody put it into the back of your throat and you swallowed it, there is no Tumah whatsoever. So where do you see any overlap between a Behema and an Oaf? Be'ezu Torah, Shavta Behema Le'Oaf. Where is this overlap or where is this equivalence drawn? Be'Oaf the Behema. Lo Malacha. Ma behema b'shchita, afof b'shchita. To teach you, just like a behema requires shchita, so too an oaf requires shchita. That's the first thing. The first thing we learn is, just like behema requires shchita, that we already know from the psukim by Kodoshim, as well as v'zavachta, that we know by behemot. That now is teaching us a be'oaf. That's the same mechanism for being mitaher the oaf. Ima lahalan biro shnayim, afkan biro shnayim. So then you would think maybe the equation then says, just like by Behema you need Rov Shtayim, two Simanim, so too over here by the bird you need Rov Shtayim, Tamalomar, Zot. Zot is a mute, saying that there is a certain amount of equivalence drawn between them, but not a full equivalence drawn between them. So yes, Shchita for both of them, but the Shchita for both of them does not the same type of Shchita. It's Zot. This is what's for the Behema and the Oaf together. There's something else where they're not equivalent, and that is by the number of simanim that you need in the shchita. Now, the truth is that shchita is also equated with tuma, because shchita is what's mitaher you from nevela. If you do shchita, the animal is not a nevela. It's only if it dies by itself that it is classified as a nevela. If you do shchita on an animal, even if it's a treif on the end, it's still not a nevela. There's no tumat nevela. So even though it's at the summary, at the way in, by tuma, Shechita has influence on whether it's Teme, Tumat Nevela or not. And that's where we're drawing this equation of equivalent. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Beizu Torah Shavta Behema Laof, Ovid Behema, Lomar Lacha, Ma'of Hechshiro Minat Zavar, Af Behema Hechshiro Minat Zavar. So where is the equivalence drawn? It's drawn about the location of the Shechita. Just like the Oaf, the Hechshir comes from the neck. We know that from Malika. Malika is Mul Ha'oref. It's done in the place that sees the back of the head, which is the nape of the neck. So it's done at the neck. So now you learn from there that neck is the location. But then, Ima Lahalan Mimul Oref, Afgan Mimul Oref. So if that's the case, then why not have to do Shechita should be from the back of the neck, not from the front of the neck? Tamaloma Umalaket Rosho Mimul Arpo Velo Yavdil. Rosho Shoze Mul Oref and Rosho Shalacher Mimul Oref. That the Rosho comes to teach you, that possessive form of Rosho comes to tell you that only by birds is it done from the back of the neck. By behemoth, it is not done from the back of the neck. So here again, this is a fifth source for the fact that the Shechita is from the neck. And that's learned out from a equation between behema and oaf. The Gemara asks, okay, now that that's Rabbi Eliezer's limud, what does he do with the word bezot? Because that zot is a miut over there. What does he do with the miut that the Tanakama used in order to explain the one siman and two simanim? What does he do with that? Was there a high zot ma'avilei? Ilav zot, hava mina ma'of b'siman achad, af behema b'siman achad, in the other direction. Just like an oaf only requires one siman, so too a behema would only require one siman. And that's learned from the fact that by chatat oaf it says below yavdil. You don't separate it. That's the Gemara we learned back on Chaf Aleph, that the olat oaf, because it's yavdil, is more simanim, but the chatat oaf, where it's low yavdil, there you only require one siman. So just like by the chatat oaf, where you require one siman, so too by shechitat behema, maybe you only require one siman. Kata rachamana zot, teach you, no, that's only by the bird that it's one siman. By the animal, it is two simanim. Tana bar kapara. Zotarata behema ba'of. Tila katuv la'of, ben behema lidagim. In this pasuk, the behema is first, then oaf, then dagim. Unlike what it is, and I told you in the details of the parshiot, in the summary pasuk, it is that way. That's to teach you that the oaf is one siman, that you shech the oaf with one siman. Because the chayvo b'shnei simanim yefshar. You can't be mechayevet two simanim shkvar hukash l'dagim. Because oaf sits between behema and dagim. That means it's also like dagim, also like behema. To say two simanim you can't because it's connected to dagim that don't require any simanim. The protro below klum, to let it go without any necessity, without any cutting of the simanim yefshar shkvar hukash l'behema. Because there's a hekesh to behema. It sits between behema, which requires two simanim, and dag, that requires no simanim. It's a ha keitzad, hechshiro b'siman achad. It is a bridge between behema and dag, and therefore it requires one siman and not two simanim. And then for bar kapara, what is he going to do with the zot? So it does what it says, like he said in a number of places before, we said, l'didei yitzchik zot l'shum drasha. He has some drasha that he does with the word zot, even though we don't have it laid out over here. Dagim dalav bnei shechita ninu minalan. Now, there's an assumption here that is dagim don't require any shechting of the simanim. Where do you know that from? How do you know that dagim don't require shechita? Ilem mishum dechtiv hatzon ubakar yishachet lahem imet kod geayam yaseif lahem. Moshe Rabbeinu in Balotcha, when they're asking for meat and they're asking for, and eventually what they get is the slav, over there, Moshe says to Hashem, you told me to give them meat every day. How am I going to do that? Even if I shecht all the tzon and bakar, will I have enough? Even if I take out all the fish from the sea, will that suffice? Basifa ba'alma sagiluhu. There it says, asifa is enough. Because it just says, by the tzon and bakar, it says, yishachet. By the dagim, it says, yaseif, that I will gather them. Sounds like gathering is sufficient. Elamiato gabe slav. Wait a minute, if that's the case, by the birds, that the fowl that they get, then dichtiv ve'yasfu et aslav, that they gathered the slav when it landed outside, shatuach, zelamachaneh, it was laid out outside the machaneh, then they went out and gathered it. So what you can tell me there also, that means you don't need shechita, hanachanami, the law of shechita. You can tell me that, yes, sefo there also means no shechita. Va'amart, the potro below klom, yefshar. You already said that you can't let the bird go without any shechting, shefar ukash lebeima. Mar says, very easy answer. It's really hard to understand what the question was, but it says, hatam loktiva asifa, b'mukom shechita. It has to do with the context in which the asifa is written. When you write asifa in contrast to shechita, then asifa means no shechita. over there by the Slav, it just writes Asifa independently of anything else. It's not connected or in the context of anything else. And therefore, that Asifa does not mean to kill, but rather to gather in, physically gather in. Halcha, by the case of the Tzon HaBakar Yishachet Lahem, the Asifa is Bamakom Shechita De'achrine. The context of Shechita, in the context of Shechita, Asifa means to bring in without Shechita. The truth is that the word Le'asof is used in the Torah in two different meanings. Le'asof can mean to physically gather, or Vayesef Elamav. That means to die. It's a euphemism for dying, is Vayesef Elamav. So the question is, which Asifa are we speaking about here? The answer is, when you're talking about Asifa independently of anything else, then Asifa means to physically gather. The Asifa that's written by the Shechita is the equivalent of a Yasef Elamav, is to kill, is to remove it and kill it in the Asifa process. And that means that you're gathering it from the sea, and that is the Shechita for the fish. Rav Sadia Gaon says, based on this Gemara, that you're only allowed to eat fish that were alive and that you took out of the water and killed. If you find a dead fish, you can't eat it because there was no Asifa. Asifa is the Shechita for the fish, and therefore you need to do Asifa in order to gain status of Shechita. The Rambam says it's Lav Dafka, you don't need Asifa, any fish that's dead is fine, that's all you need. Asifa is just a different term for Vayesef Elamav, to be dead. So it's interesting. So the Rav Sadia Gaon reads the Asifa here as being both versions of Asifa, meaning that both Vayesef Elamav, meaning to kill, but also Asifa in the physical sense of taking in the fish. And therefore, you have to gather the fish in order to have Asifa, that you're the one who actually killed the fish. Rambam says, no, Asifa means dead. Dead is dead. Doesn't matter how it gets to be dead. As long as it's dead, it's okay. And he reads it simply as the one version of Vayasef, which just means to Vayasef Elamav. It's dead. If the fish is dead, then it's kosher. Darash Ubar Galila. Ubar Galila was Doresh. Behema, shinivret mina yabasha, hekshera b'shnei simanim. Animals that were created from dry land. And again, we're going to see the psukim in 1 second. They require two simanim. Dagim shenivru'u min ha'mayim, fish that are created from water, heksheram v'lo klum. They don't require any cutting of the simanim. Oh, shenivru'u min ha'rakak, the birds or the fowl that were created from the mud, which is a mixture of water and earth, heksheru b'siman echad. Then their heksher is worth one siman. And then we have evidence of that. Amrav Shmuel kaputka teida. I'll prove to you that's the case. Shirofot yeshlem kaskeset beraglaim. They have scales along their legs or their feet. Kidagim, like fish, which means that they have something similar to the fish. It could be that he's referencing to some of the birds that have webbing on their feet also, that there is some sort of overlap between the legs of the birds and the fish. And he sees some parallel in that to what is being said here by Ubar Glila. Now Rashi explains, what does it mean that it's mina yabasha? Why does it matter that if you're created from land, that you require two simanim? So Rashi says over here, v'fikach yesh lo chiyut bari v'chazak. It has a stronger life force, and it is more powerful and healthy. And therefore it requires a larger act in order to remove the life force from the animal. On the other hand, rakak, which is like the gravila, Rashi calls it like gravel, yesh b'mayim v'yabasha, has a mixture of them that has less life force. Less life force requires a less pronounced act in order to remove the life force. And then the last piece of that is the fish, which have the least of life force. They're created from water, which is seen as being less of a life force or less strong life force because it doesn't solid, it doesn't sit, it doesn't form. It's amorphous, makes it that you don't need as much influence to take the life of such an animal. So Rashi sees it in a physical sense of taking the life, as you can imagine that many see this as being a spiritual idea. And remember that the ability to do shechita, the shechita does two things. It's makshiret la'achila, but it also is mitaheret midei devela. That has to do with tumah. And so there you have, like the Torah Chaim explains over here, that when it comes to tumah, the stronger the life force, then the removal of that life force is going to create more tumah. And so to counteract that tumah, you need a greater act of kedusha. And so that's what it said over here, that the behema, which has a higher form of life force, when that life force is lost, there's more tumah. So in order to offset that, you need a cut of two simanim, a shechita, a greater shechita, to re-imbue or to prevent the tumah from coming and make it kadosh. And then similarly with the birds and the fish, the less life force, the less an act of kedusha you need in order to maintain it or prevent the tumah from descending upon this item. That's the way he reads it. The Marsha reads it more simply and just says that animals, since they're created from land, are more gashmi. And since they're more gashmi, in order to be mikadesh them, it's going to require a more significant act to be mikadesh, something that is more gashmi. The less gashmi you are, the more amorphous you are, the more you're closer to the water, the less of an act you need in order to be mikadesh or to elevate the animal. So he sees that as yabashana being evidence of a stronger life force, but of a stronger tie to gashmiut. And then to pull away from that gashmiut, you're going to need a more significant action of kedusha to elevate it and to be makshirit and to remove the tumah that is associated with that gashmiut. All right, so now the Gemara continues. V'od shalu. So now the Gemara starts in the middle of nowhere, which is v'od shalu, and they also ask the question, implying that there was a question before. The problem is, what is the reference to? What was the previous question that this is a continuation of? So Rashi claims that od shalu is based on a Gemara in Bechorot, which is Kontrikun Hahegmon et Rabban Gamliel. Over there, there's a series of questions that are presented by Kontrikun, the Hegmon, the governor, to Rabban Gamliel. He asked a lot of questions. And this is Va'od Shalu. This is another one of those questions. That's why Rashi reads it. The Baal Tosafot bring Rashi's interpretation, and they say that that's incorrect. And he says that it is Kontrikun Hegmon who's asking Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and not asking Rabban Gamliel. And Tosafot says that anywhere in Shas, where it says Va'od Shalu, it's similar to what we have by Bo Vayom. Bo Vayom is the day on which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as a Nasi, when they deposed Rabban Gamliel because of the incidents with Rabbi Yoshua. And then Bo Vayom means on that day. And anywhere in Shas where it says Bo Vayom, it's like a code word. It means on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed. He says Va'od Shalu has the same thing. It's a code word for saying those questions that were asked by Kontrikun Hegmon. The difference between Rashi and the Tosafot is, who was he asking the questions of? According to Rashi, he was asking them of Rabban Gamliel. According to the Baal Tosafot, he was asking them of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So now it says Va'od Shalu, and it's brought here, even though it's not relevant to the questions that were asked there, it's because one of those questions was contextually relevant to us about Ofot. Yiskatu v'chad omer, one pasuk says, V'yomer lukim yishutzu amayim sheretz nefesh chaya v'of yufeif. So one of the psukim says that from the waters will emerge all the shvatzim, as well as the birds that fly. Sounds like the birds, alma mimaya ibru. Sounds like the birds were created from the water. V'ktiv, and then the pasuk in Perek Bet of Breshit, that's in Perek Aleph of Breshit, in Perek Bet it says, V'yitzar Hashem lukim min ha'adama kol chayata sadeh et kol ofa shamayim, that Hashem created from the ground all the animals of the earth and all the birds. Sounds like it comes alma mi'ara ibru. Sounds like it comes from the ground. Amar lo. So the answer that either Rabban Gamliel or Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai gives to him is minarakak nivru. They were from a mixture. It's a mixture of the water and the earth together. This relates to what we just said, which was that was what makes the ofot, a bridge between the animals and the fish. I think it's interesting, if you look at the Malbim's Perush on Breshit, he speaks about Breshit and the creation being almost a evolutionary process, which is that the animals and the items become more and more sophisticated as you move through Maaseh Breshit. So he doesn't necessarily subscribe to evolution, but he's pointing out that there might be a directed evolution, which is God's creating each day things that are more and more complex. And he points out certain animals that are bridges between other animals. And here the Gemara seems to be doing something similar, which is saying that birds are a bridge between the fish and the animals. And that's because both in the way that the Shechita is halfway between the animals and the fish, in the same way that the creation, water and earth, the halfway between them is this rakak, that's the birds. And you have some sort of, I would say, directed evolution rather than the evolution as we know, the thesis that things happen by themselves or randomly. But over here, it's, you have a directed evolution. Ra'a talmidav mistaklim zeh bazeh. He saw his students looking at each other like, this is the answer? Amalem kashe b'neichem shetachite et oivai b'kash. You're bothered by the fact that I was able to throw him away with a piece of straw, meaning with nothingness, I was able to wave him away. He says, minamayim nivru'u. The truth is that they were created from the water. V'olam ha'evyan el ha'adam. Quote lehem, shame, to give them names. So the fact that they're found in the pasuk, v'yitzar shalom kim in ha'adama, kol chayat ha'sdeh v'kol fashamayim, is not because of the earlier part of the pasuk, v'yitzar, about the creation, but about the latter part there, which is that Adam is going to call names to all the animals. So they're included in the pasuk not because they're created from the ground, but because the next part is animals are being given names by Adam. And that's why they're included in the pasuk. V'yeshomrim. Some say the whole story is backwards, which is, v'lashon acher amar l'oto hegmon, that he answered the hegmon that it wasn't about the creation that was brought in the second pasuk,
but rather it was about Adam giving them names. Ublashon Rishon Amar Lehem LeTalmidav. And then he says to his students that the Rakak is the answer to the problem, Mishum Dechtiv Al Vayitzer, because it's written on Vayitzer, meaning that the reference in the Pasuk of Vayitzer clearly references to the Oph as well. As Rashi notes over here, that Kol Ofa Shemaim Al Vayitzer, the Mashma De Yitzirah Namikoi. Vayitzer, the opening verb there, seems to be modifying everything in the Pasuk, which is Chayat HaSadeh and the Ofa Shemaim. Lishna Achrina, Mikhtiv Al, Klomar, Mikra Kama Gufe Mishtama, Demina Aretz Nibru, Dikhtiv Al Haaretz, because it says on the land, Demashma Deminai Dibru, Dikhtiv Nami Bekra Batra, Vayitzer Min Adama. Because the first Pasuk, it says there, Vayomer Lokim Shutsu Amaim Sheretz Nevesh Chayav of your faith, Al Haaretz. So what does it mean, Al Haaretz? Al Haaretz indicates that they really were coming from the land. So, what's the water doing over there? Either one of the answers that we have here, but the Al Haaretz seems to indicate, or Vayitzer, modifying both them, seems to push you in a direction saying that the birds really did come from the ground, and therefore the answer that they came from the Rakak is the real answer, and the other answer was what Doche Bekash was the answer about, it was just for the naming of the animals that it was brought over there. So now we have a huge Kiddush over here, which is, Oph does not have any din of Shkita Min HaTorah. That means not a Lachol Moshe Misinai, not in a specific pasuk in the Torah. There is no shkita la'of min ha-Torah. Shnemar v'shafach v'shvicha ba'alma sagi. Because it says by the birds, v'shafach, once you do shvicha, that's enough. So now the word shafach appears in Parshat Achrimot when it speaks about the blood that is spilled from chayot and ofot that they require kisui hadam. So there it says shvicha. So it says v'shvicha ba'alma sagi. You just need shvicha, you don't need shkita. So those psukim that deal with kisui adam deal with both chaya and ofot. If for ofot shvicha is enough, then by chaya also. Itkish the psulei amukdashim. The chaya is already connected to psulei amukdashim because there it says that they are like the ayal and the tzvi. That the psulei amukdashim are similar to ayal and tzvi. That connection between them makes it that they have the same din as behemot, not just behemot, but behemot kodashim, which clearly requires shchita, and that's why they are requiring shchita. Of nami itkish the beima, tichtiv zotarata beima v'of, that we already brought. There is a correlation between of and beima as well. Haktiv, v'shafach et damo. But it says, shafach et damo. My chazit, t'shajale al of, shajya chaya. How do you know which one? You have here one pasuk that says shafach, and then you have psukim that either correlate chaya with beima, or psulem and gdashim, and you have another pasuk that correlates of with beima. So how do you know which one to ignore the hekesh and which one to say that shafach applies to? So mistavra mishum desalik minei. It makes the most sense because the oph is the second thing mentioned in the pasuk. In the pasuk there in Achrimot, it mentions chaya first, then oph, and then mentions the shafach damo. So that seems to say that the shafach damo is modifying the oph and not the chaya. And that's the reason we think that the oph only requires shficha, but does not require shchita. Now we're going to see in 1 second that even according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, when we say in shchita lof min haTorah, that doesn't mean it's devoid of any requirements. And we're going to see that here in the next statement of the Gemara. Meitavet, shochet v'nitnav la biyodo. Someone's doing a shchita, and he did it improperly, so now that the animal becomes a nevela, a nocher, v'ameaker, patur min hachasot. Or if you kill the animal, whether it's a chaya or a bird over here, then if you do it through nechira, or akira, it is patur min lachasot. You don't require kisui adam. V'yamar tein shkita la'of min haTorah. If you say there's no need for shkita min haTorah, maybe mid the Rabbanan there is a need for shkita, but if there's no need mid the Torah, nechirato zoi shkitato. Then nechira is the equivalent of shkita. If that's the case, libai kisui, then you should require kisui adam. Misavarat ba'of. Who says that this braita is speaking about of? It's speaking about chayot. And by chayot, shchita is the requirement. Nechira just doesn't do the job. Akira doesn't do the job. That's a nevela. Over here, there's an important Rashi. Rashi over here says, Vein nevela ta'of kruya nevela, ilim kein meita me'aleha. Because the of has no requirement of shchita, the only way it becomes a nevela is if it dies by itself. It dies natural causes. O, harga b'maka shelo yadei simanim. Or you kill it in a way that doesn't affect the simanim. Aval nechira uikur simanim kasher bo. The other hand, nechira and iakira, which are a killing through the simanim, they don't qualify as shechita, but they qualify as a killing through simanim. that is enough to be mitaharet midei nevela. What Rashi makes clear over here is that even according to Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas, even though there's no requirement of shechita, there's still a requirement that the animal be killed derech hasimanim. And that could be nechira, that could be akira. That also has influence, as we noted before, Rashi back on Daf Yudayin Amud Aleph, when he defined what nocher was, when he said it means cutting from the nose straight down to the chazeh. There, Rashi doesn't mention it, but over here he does mention it. Tosafot on Chofav and Aleph, over there it deals with nechira, they both mentioned the need for simanim, that nechira is not simply a cut that's not shechita. It doesn't just mean killing it in a way that's not shechita, it means killing it through simanim that's not shechita. And therefore simanim are central to that type of killing. And that's what Rashi makes clear over here, that the lack of a requirement of shechita doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. It does still means that you have to kill it through simanim. And that's the nature of the Gemara's question over here. If simanim are the mechanism for killing it, then nechira and akira should create then a necessity for kisui hadam, if you believe there's ain't shechita lof min ha-Torah. Tashma, ha-shochet mitzarech the dam. Some of the shechita, and they need the dam. So if they need the dam, if they do kisui hadam, they're not going to get the dam. So then how do you get the dam? Chayav lechasot, you still have to do kisui hadam, even though you're only shefting for the purpose of getting the blood. Kesar u'oseh. So then how do you do this to avoid the problem? O no charo, o karo. You either do nechira or akira, which has no requirement of kisui hadam. Again, my lav, ba'of. Again, the braita seems to be speaking about an oaf, and it's speaking about an oaf, then you see here, nechira and akira do not require kisui hadam, which shows you that there is shkita min ha-Torah for oaf. So Gemara says, and it makes sense to say that it's an oaf, the kaboyla le damei le nika. The reason is because you need the blood to be used for the nika, as Rashi explains over here, that the linika is tolat hagdela bebigdei tzemer. It is the worm that grows in woolen garments, shegorim tinia, or in instance, and he quotes the pasuk from Iyob of Ash, a moth. It's the worm that produces the moth that lives in the bigdei tzemer, in the woolen garments. So they use the blood to rid themselves of these moths, the original mothballs, in a sense. Get rid of the moths or the worms that affect the bigdei tzemer. So he says it makes sense that you would need the dam from a bird, because that dam is used in this process, and that must be the explanation of the Braita. Where it says, well, pechaya. The Braita is talking about a chaya, the kabayle, the demei, the lako, that there's a use for that blood as well. The Rashi says over here, it's seva or adom, shekorim parka. It is a dye. They use it as a red dye for leather, and so that's why you need the blood of a chaya. So if you need the blood of a chaya, then the Braita is speaking about a chaya, then there's no proof from here that there is shkita lof min ha-Torah, because over here you have nechira and akira by a chayar, clearly not a good shkita, or do not require kisui adam, because you have nevela and you don't have a proper shkita. Once again, we don't have a proof that oaf with nechira and akira does not require kisui adam, which would indicate that the only mechanism for being metaher, making a ro'il achila, a bird, would be shkita. Both cases, we said the braita reference to chayot and not to ofot, and therefore we don't have any proof that there is shkita min ha-Torah from these braitot. Okay, and we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of Chav Chet Amad Aleph.